This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
We're Generation X, laughing at the world today. We're getting older, but we're still gonna play.
Anniversary, Steph.
Thanks.
Happy anniversary, Nancy Picklebottom.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really did think he was not going to send me anything, you know, so I could show those bitches at work, and you have to, that's what it's all about.
Right.
They have to know. Doesn't matter if I do, but they need to know that you're appreciated or whatever. So the girl came, and she had the big tray and the puppies and whatever, and she was like, somebody loves you. I was like, mm-hmm.
How many years you been married now?
25.
Wow. Congratulations. If
Thank
I live
you.
Long enough, I might reach that pinnacle.
Well, you know, we got married pre-Y2K, so we figured we'd be dead in 10 days anyway, so what did it matter?
You got to take a chance, right? You have to roll the dice.
And I rolled it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. I'm happy to hear that. Hey, we have a guest tonight on the show, and it's... we had a guest last week, so thanks to Casper Kelly for coming on and talking about Yule Log 2. We have a guest tonight who is somebody that we've known for years now. He was in a lot of 80s movies. He was in a McDonald's commercial when he was 3 or 4 years old. If everybody remembers that, the little kid getting out of bed and leaving a gift certificate for Santa. Do you remember those gift certificates? I always got them in my stocking when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But no, I'll tell you the name of our guest. The name of our guest is Corey Feldman. That's right, Corey Feldman. And before you start, oh, it's going to be a juicy episode. No, it isn't. We're not going there. Anything you're thinking about and wanting us to ask Corey Feldman while we have him here, we're not going to ask him. Kevin Green is a co-producer on a new movie called Going Viral. It is very much an homage to 80s films. And Corey plays sort of a reclusive character by the name of Samurai. And the whole premise of the film is, what if social media type devices had existed in, say, 1987, 86, 87? And I thought it was a clever idea. There's some cool special effects in this movie that, even though they're sort of cheesy, and I mean that in a nice way, they're not bad. They would have cost 10 times the amount in 1987 than they do now. And they look better now than they would have then, too. So we'll talk about the movie, talk about what he's up to. And but those things, you'll just have to go find those things elsewhere.
He came into my life and he changed everything. I mean, he gave me fans, he gave me followers. It's the more VTVers he gets, the more likes he gets, the more powerful he becomes.
How many likes in the last video did we get?
2.
The one before that.
Ooh. 2.
Seriously?
If I could just get more views.
Welcome to Viral Universe.
Then I could be popular.
I'm Mr. Viral.
Mr. Viral?
Wait, no, who's that?
Mr. Viral.
Probably just a computer program.
Let's get to work, shall we?
We're famous, dude.
I left the video.
This is the best thing that ever happened to us.
What the hell happened to you, O'Connell? Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, it looks like I am.
Just remember us little people.
Will you trust me, Becky? Sure.
Sure.
Booyah!
Hey, crazy, but okay.
Going Viral is a movie that you are able to get now on Amazon Prime, Apple, and Fandango Home. If you're Gen X and you grew up watching all these great 80s movies, you know, stuff that you just watched over and over again, you're going to love this because it is a nothing but an homage. It's its own story. It's a cool story, but it is an homage. This movie supposes that there are little like devices.
They're like a Game Boy Color kind of thing.
Game Boy, yeah. But
they have iPhone connectivity.
Right. And everybody's on TikTok, and that's pretty much all it is, for as much as the device is concerned. And that's pretty cool because there's a lesson to be learned. But the story arcs of the main character are pretty cool. And as you're watching it, if you watched all those movies when you were growing up as a Gen Xer or a younger millennial or an older millennial, you're going to recognize everything. I did. And one of the actors in this movie is in a lot of those classic 80 movies. Let's see. What are we going to start with? Gremlins, Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter, Goonies, Stand By Me as Mr. Duchamp, The Lost Boys, License to Drive, The Burbs, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and pretty much on and on and on. Of course, I'm talking about the great Corey Feldman.
Welcome to the sunshine.
We were just talking about going viral.
This is going viral in a very festive way, I see.
Yes.
Ho, ho, ho.
Now I've got my Gremlins Christmas shirt on. So.
Oh, isn't that special? Look at that. And you're in front of what looks like Rockefeller Center, but something tells me, even though you've got those nice white snow mitten type headphones on, that you are sitting in front of a green screen swords with a virtual background, and it looks like an auspicious studio that may also be a green screen over there. I don't know what exactly we're dealing with here, but I just call me crazy in the day of AI to lead to so many suspicions. But
well, you're wrong,
everybody.
It's actually Detroit.
Oh, it is. Oh, there you go. So, well, I'm sure you must be cold.
Corey, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show, man. It's certainly a pleasure. We've been excited all week when we found out that you're going to come on and talk to us going viral. And
my big question, I guess, is where is your profound green screen?
I don't have one.
You're kind of missing it. Well, we're together. You know, you got those two with the fancy schmancy behind them. And then you've got us, you know, looking like normal folks sitting in a, you know.
Yeah,
a nice
radio
dark,
studio.
A nice dark environment. It looks professional. It looks professional. Right. Or at least, you know, like a low rent, low budget show that it should be. You know, I mean, what is this? MSNBC or CBS? No. We like to keep our low budge within the low budget, you know.
That's
realm.
Right.
So there you go. In fact, here we are talking about a film which itself is a, you know, a low budget film.
Yeah, but the movie had such, I would say that it really captured an 80s movie vibe. I'm not saying I've seen this movie before, but I felt this movie before because I used to skip a lot of school in the 80s and I would stay home and I'd watch HBO or I would watch a VHS tape of something I recorded off HBO. I can't tell you how many times I watched Goonies, Stand By Me, all those different movies.
Yeah, I was taping Caligula. I don't know what VHS you were using, but
I have that one under the bed.
I see. Because I was like, if I'm going to, you know, actually record something, it better be that special late night Playboy TV movie that I don't normally get to watch, you know, when the parents are around. No, I'm joking.
Well, but no, the I was talking to Kevin Green, one of the producers, and he was telling me that it's low budget. And I'm watching the special effects in this movie. I'm going, these special effects are perfect for the movie. If you go back to 1986, some of the special effects
are actually better. They're better than what we had in 1986.
Yeah, and they cost times as much. But
I
really enjoyed it. I didn't know what to expect. And, of course, I recognize some of the places because it's Atlanta and, you know, where you shot it. And you even opened with one of my old coworkers playing the aerobics instructor on the TV. So that was kind of strange.
Nice.
But what was the last movie you were in before this one?
Well, gee, it came out a month ago. It's called The Birthday.
Okay. Well, no, that was 2004, though. That's when that was made.
It was made in 2004, but it hadn't come out. It was never released. Yeah. That's why it was such a big deal that we finally got a theatrical release and then eventually a streaming release, but and eventually a Blu-ray release, which we believe will be early next year. But this has been a very momentous occasion for that. But I usually still make 2 to 3 movies a year. That's really never stopped. The only time that I ever didn't make 2 or 3 movies a year was, I think, with along with the rest of the world between 2020 and 2022. When there was this little thing called the pandemic and the world was locked down. And then, of course, I was dealing with my own rounds of drama due to the fact that I had created a very controversial documentary, which I produced. But again, that was a film, right? I put it out in 2020. So that film came out. Let's see. Corbin Nash came out in theaters, I believe, in 2017 or 18.
All right.
So I think that was the last theatrical and then we put out a couple independents, I think, in 2019. And, you know, but mostly it's been focusing on the music, you know, putting out box set in 2020 or 2021. I think, was it 2020? 2020 or 2021. We put out a huge box set. Oh, no, wait. The box set, I think, came out in 22. That's right. So movie documentary came out in 2020. 2021, obviously, you know, I'd been away for a year, so I'd been kind of making this film, and which was another documentary. We produced another documentary about my music career. So there was the you know, the My Truth documentary, which came out in 2020. 2021, we made the other documentary about my music career, which was just for kind of hardcore fans as part of my box set about the process of making my first album and then remixing and remastering it and interviews with all the people who were involved. So great project. And then just a collection of 6 discs, which was 4 CDs, 2 DVDs, a whole 50-page magazine. All that stuff was done during the years 2020 and 2021, along with a brand new album, along with 3 other CDs, which, you know, one was remixed, remastered from the original album. Another was unreleased tracks. So it was basically 2 new albums nobody had ever heard, along with a karaoke we put out called Karaoke Cabaret. So it was a giant project. And then the very next year, unbeknownst to everybody, I made like 4 new movies. And so those are just now starting to roll out, the first being going viral. But I have 2 more actually that are on the way. One we thought was going to make it out before the end of the year. There was a rumor that it was going to make it out before the end of the year, but going viral won. So they beat them to the punch. But there's another movie that I have, I guess, will be coming out probably fairly close to the beginning of next year. It's called The 3-2 Pull Down. And then yet another movie, which has been making its round in the festivals this year, and I guess will be making its debut for everybody early next year. And that movie is called Sour Party. So yes, I've got a lot of stuff. Always nice. Got a lot of stuff. I never stop.
That's good.
Going viral was shot in Atlanta. Did you like shooting here? We're all in Atlanta right now.
I love Atlanta. It's my second film in Atlanta, actually. I shot a movie in the mid 90s, I believe. It was either the mid 90s or the early 2000s, called No Witness.
With Steve Barnes.
There you go. Yeah, I could never remember that guy's name. And I'm always trying to, whenever I do like radio shows in Atlanta, I'm like, you know, I did a movie with a guy who was a big radio DJ, but I can't remember his name. But anyway, is he still around? Is he still in the biz?
Yeah, in fact, he started one of the first drone companies doing film footage.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Is he hanging out in New Jersey? Is that what he's doing?
No, that was way before that. But yeah, maybe he's the one launching him over Atlanta. But no, he's back on the air again with his old morning crew at a different radio station.
His film career didn't work out so well?
No, I can't imagine why. Wasn't Joan Severance in that? Or I think maybe he did it. He did another movie with Joan.
Oh boy! He gifted us with another film of his fine acting work.
Yes.
Anyway, well, no. In that one though, they did have Michael Damian. Michael Damian made a nice appearance in the movie, which was a nice reunion for him and I. And the great Jeff. Damn it! What's his last name? The guy from Lawnmower Man, Jeff Fahey.
Yes.
So Jeff Fahey was the other lead, Matt. So and a girl who was a lovely young girl named Marissa, I believe. But it was a great cast, actually, and a really decent movie. I mean, everybody in the movie was a seasoned veteran except for Steve. So anyway, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about going viral. So it was actually is actually, you know, let me say what I can say about it. It's a great kids movie. It's fun for the whole family. That's a thing. I go back and forth. I do a lot of different stuff. Obviously, I've got films in every genre, but it's always nice to go do some wholesome work that's good for the whole family. In fact, speaking of wholesome work, that was the movie in between. So after going with the chronology here, in between Corbin Nash, which came out in 2017, 2018, in 2019, I had a movie called Teenage Girls First Wheels. And that was another family film. So I go back and forth between the macabre and the really crazy, zany stuff to a nice family film. And again, here we go, the birthday, and then, you know, this going viral. So, you know, I like to put stuff out that, you know, and again, this isn't my production. I'm not starring in it. I'm just a small part,
player. A big impact in it, for sure.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I try to put the most I can into whatever I do, even if I'm only there for a day or two. But the point is that, I think it's a cute concept. You know, we're not going to win any Academy Awards. It's not the greatest film and it's not art, but it is something that I think a lot of kids will enjoy during the holidays because it's a cute little family film. You know, parents can feel safe about their kids watching it on the family living room while we're all enjoying dinner or, presents or whatever it is. So it's one of those movies you can have on. You can have it in the background. You can have it there with the kids. Nobody has to worry about it. And it's fun because it's a mix of, it's like a menagerie of genres, you know, it's like Back to the Future, a la Weird Science, a la License to Drive, all that, you know, it's kind of got all those little, and a lot of nods, a lot of Easter eggs for 80s fans, from, you know, the Goonies poster in the background to the Pac-Man, thing on the desk and, you know, just like little Tiny Max headroom. There's so many, yeah, you know, Easter eggs and nods to genre fans that I think they're going to love it for that. Obviously me being a part of it brings a certain nostalgia to that genre. But overall, I think it's mostly the fact that it's, a alternate reality twist on virtual reality and AI, because obviously we didn't have those things in the 80s. So it's kind of confusing if you don't really get what's going on, because if you take it too literally, you're going to go, wait a minute. They didn't have following and searching and all that kind of stuff in 1986. You know, they didn't have those things, but it's kind of like slipping into an alternate reality. What if it all started back then? And what would it have looked like if we could hold, you know, a social media app in our hand via a game program when we were, you know, still like feathering our hair and wearing, you know, white Converse. Oh,
Yes. I'm glad we didn't. I never would have made it out of the 80s if I had had it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everybody would be stuck on it.
Right. I was like, I'm going to watch Porky's and then I'm going to go outside.
There you go. Well, you know, Porky's is definitely some high art cinematic historical achievement that everybody should recognize.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
But you know, that was my question is, like, you are, for me, you're so much a part of my childhood. I mean, from the Goonies, and I was obsessed with Mouth. I had a crush on you when I was 10. And thank then you got replaced by River Phoenix in Stand By Me.
Okay, well, I was in that too, you know.
I know.
All right.
But you were in so many classic movies from, you know, people our age, our childhoods or whatever. Do you ever get tired of, you know, whenever we come up to you like freaks and they're like, oh my God, do you always enjoy that?
Not always. I'll be honest. When I'm eating or going to the bathroom or, you know, certain moments that are, you know, you're having a dispute with your son or your girlfriend or your friend or whatever, you know, there's times where people need their privacy. And I think that's got to be recognized because unfortunately in the fandom, you know, a lot of people forget. You know, and I get it. People get excited. You see somebody that you grew up with or that you admire and you get excited. But at the same time, there's a time and place. We've got to respect social norms and social boundaries. And, you know, it is important for people to mind their manners and remember that, just because somebody's famous, that does not make them a human servant. They're for your, whatever joy and vitriol at the same time. It's, you know, somebody that is famous is, you know, kind of taking a moment out of their day to give you that experience if they choose to. I always try to be there for my fans no matter what. But again, have the decency, wait till I'm done at the table. Don't come up and interrupt my dinner. You know, wait till I walk outside the restaurant, and then I'm more than happy to take your picture or sign your autograph or whatever. So as long as people are respectful about it, I think that's the main thing.
You were in so many classic movies. Were there any movies that you tried out for that ended up being classics in the 80s that you didn't get?
No.
Got them all.
I mean, pretty much, yeah. In the 80s, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's movies I would have preferred to have done, you know, rather than the ones that I did, maybe. But everything I auditioned for in the 80s that I wanted, I got. It wasn't until much later, when I actually cared about my career, that they decided to punish me. But that's what happens to most people that turn 18 in Hollywood. But that's another story altogether.
You know, a lot of celebrities say that, oh, that's one thing that people yell at me all the time, or every time they see me, they holler it across the street. Is there any one phrase from your past that you keep hearing more than others?
I've been in 18 number one films. There's a lot of iconic moments, you know, so everybody's got their thing. Everybody's got their favorite. Everybody's got, you know, I'm just glad anybody remembers me.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I go with that. Like, yes, I was in a lot of great stuff. I'm grateful, of course, to have been in, you know, some films or pieces of art that remain near and dear to people's hearts. And that you get to be a part of their holiday experience, or you get to be a part of their joy, or you get to be a part of their family. That's the gift. But for me, I don't really try to think about all that stuff a lot. I don't like to be in a place of ego. I like to be in a place of humility. So for me, it's just, you know, look, I'm grateful that people remember my work. It's beautiful that so many films that I have been attached to became iconic and are still remembered fondly today. But I'm all about moving forward. You know, I like whatever the next project is. You know, that's what excites me.
Sure. That's great. That's a great way to be, because I'm going to go back to the early 70s for my next question. And that's not moving forward, but I'll stop it after this. You've been in our lives since you were a child. We're all roughly the same age. But I think a lot of people remember first seeing you getting out of bed and putting a McDonald's gift certificate on a plate for Santa Claus. Do you have any recollection? I've wanted to ask you this question for a year. Do you have any recollection of making that, or were you still too young?
Of course. Okay. I remember everything.
Yes.
Yeah, not really. I have an ironclad memory. That's why people are best to not test me when it comes to recollection or memories, or, you know, whenever I, you know, if I write a story, if I tell a story, if I make a post, I'm going to remember what I said because it's going to be truthful. And I will say the same exact story 10 years later, 20 years later, 40 years later, if I have to. And that's one thing that I am grateful for, is God has granted me the gift of consistency and a good memory. And, you know, sometimes I wish I could forget certain things, but, you know, yeah, but, you know, given the fact that, you know, we deal with things like senility and, dementia and things like that can tarnish the brain, I'm grateful that I have a nice, young, fresh working brain, and I hope to keep it that way for many years to come.
I bring it up mainly to say just how much that commercial meant to me every year, because when I started seeing that commercial as a little kid and as I grew up, I knew that it was, oh, it's almost Christmas. And
hey, let's play it right now. Here we go. Here's a commercial.
Hey,
right.
Drop it in.
It's important that commercial still, I will watch it. I'll go, okay, you know, I have certain weird rituals that I do every holiday season, things I listen to or watch. And right, that's one of the things I watch. I go, okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Now it's time.
Right.
and other things.
For me, it's Eight Crazy Nights. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you gotta watch it every year. Eight Crazy Nights. No, I'm just joking. That's not my favorite. But I just thought I would be different. I have a, you know, my ritual is every holiday we make, you know, it 90% of the films, because I play a lot of films. I have a theater in my, you know, kind of theater room in my house, and we have a big screen with the projector, and we try to put on, you know, the Christmas classics during Christmas time and the Halloween classics during Halloween time. And, you know, I like to do that sort of thing, do kind of like film festivals for my family of the traditional ones. And, you know, so there's kind of the go-tos, like, you know, I always like to put on the short films of, like, say, the Peanuts gang or Charlie Brown Christmas, I guess, the Christmas specials, like the stop motion ones, like Santa Claus and Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph. And, you know, I love doing all of that kind of stuff. I love getting into the spirit. And then I'll play, like, even maybe one of my movies, like Gremlins, for example, or Christmas movie a lot of people might not be aware of I did is called Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys, which is a terrible film series, one of the worst films in my history, but it is a Christmas movie of sorts, so it can be watched at that time of year. Awesome. And it's actually family friendly, not too many PG-13 jokes in there. Although I guess the concept of a baby puppet coming alive to eat people is not, you know, really for kids, but that said, they do it in a very kind of sophomoric way, so therefore it's amateur and impish, really.
No nightmares. No, it won't.
Exactly. No, none at all. None at all.
Well, guys, do you have any more questions for Corey?
I just wondered if you thought Goonies 2 was ever going to happen, because Beetlejuice was a fake sequel for many years until it finally
became
a real movie.
Let me show you this. This is called a time machine. Have you ever traveled in a time machine before? It's actually the time machine award, which I got in Spain. But you would need this to go back in time and bring Richard Donner back, because he's gone. The head Goonie has left us. I don't really see a way around it. However, you know, with the powerhouse that is Josh Brolin and the acting thunder of Ke-Huy Quan and Sean Astin, you know, who knows? Maybe somehow all of us could get together and muster something. But really, it would be up to the boss, which is Spielberg, of course, and Chris Columbus. And those guys are still around. And if they chose to do something and put the rest of us to work in maybe other ways that could help bring the package home, then maybe there's a possibility. But I would still say chances are very, very, very slim that after the passing of Richard Donner, it would ever actually happen.
I just want to ask, what do you watch?
What do I watch? Well, I'm watching you right now.
What's current, you know, like what TV shows? Are you like into White Lotus? Or, I mean, is there anything you're watching?
I don't watch TV. I really honestly don't have time. I'm always on tour. I'm always working. I'm always doing something. Plus, I've got a family. So when I do get time off, I try to spend it, you know, not glued to the TV. But I watch news. I'm very into politics. I'm very into my new thing is I decided I'm, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. So I'm going to become Donald Trump. I'm going for the Donald Trump look. I've decided it's the best look. It's incredible. I'm going to put all the best people together. We're going to have an incredible time watching movies this season. It's going to be a great holiday season. The best ever.
You could be like Baron.
Yeah, right. I've got. I'm definitely not tall enough. That man is Lurch. He's Lurch. He's a young Lurch in weight, lying in weight.
So you can do Donald, and
I'll do
Musk, and we'll do it together. You know,
listen, I'll do anybody as long as they pay me enough. I don't care.
Damn good, Donald Trump.
They got to bend over. They got to bend over. They got to pay me.
The name of the movie, Going Viral, it is available
on Amazon. Go see it. I mean, don't go see it. Sit at home and watch it, for God's sakes.
Invite the neighbors. Amazon
there
Prime
you go.
And Fandango Home. And Corey, of course, plays the soon-to-be iconic Samurai, which is a cool character, I think. And Corey, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us on our little
show. Thanks, guys. Yeah, it was my pleasure. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays.
Yeah,
and a
Happy
blessed,
Holidays.
Blessed New Year, everybody.
Thanks, man.
You too. Thanks, man. Thanks.
Let's see. So, this is our final show, of the year before Christmas. We have one more show, our year end show on the 28th. We're going to record that for you this week. And, so yeah, it's been a good year. 51 shows we've managed to do in this year. So I guess we only took 1 week off. That's amazing to me. So let's see. What do we have to talk about this week? Two shows are back. One's a new show with a character that people either love or hate. But another show, Sebastian Maniscalco and Bookie. Bookie's back. I loved it. I loved the premiere. I'm happy it's back. It's a funny show. I think it's too short. You guys,
yeah, watched. But it picked up right where it left off.
Yes, it did.
Which I liked.
Yeah, there was no, oh, let's see what he's doing a year from now. No,
yeah.
I loved it too. It was great.
Do you think they already filmed it and it was in the bag already? And they just released it?
That way. Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with Bookie, it's on HBO Max or Max or HBO. I don't know. What do we call it these days?
Max. You just call it Max.
Just call it Max. Yeah, yeah. But the first episode was great. Manunga. Manunga.
What the hell is he saying?
I don't know. We're not going to find out. Manunga. Manunga. Sebastian Maniscalco, Omar J. Dorsey, Jorge Garcia. If you don't, well, you recognize Jorge Garcia's name. Most notable for Lost. You also have Andrea Anders, Vanessa Ferlito. She was in what, CSI New York? And before that, she was in, she spent a lot of things, but, and then she played two different characters on The Sopranos back in the day. But Rob Corddry's also in it. And Toby Huss, a lot of good character actors in this show. It's very funny.
I love Brad Garrett showing up in this.
Yeah. Oh my God. And he was Brad Garrett, right?
Yeah.
He just kept making fun of Ray holding his baby. All right. But we do have to talk about the return of Dexter Morgan. Dexter Morgan is now a young man. So, anybody watch it? I hope
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had pretty low expectations, but
yeah.
Once it got that haircut, I was starting to get into it.
Yeah, I didn't like the wig on Patrick Gibson playing the young Dexter Morgan. Michael C. Hall is narrating it. Molly Brown is the young Deborah Morgan. Dustin, did you watch it, or were you not a Dexter fan?
No, I was never a Dexter fan. My son's a huge Dexter fan, so he's wrapped up in it. But he was saying how good that the young guy is pulling off all of his mannerisms very well.
So, yeah, the young guy's really good. The sister I don't like very much.
Yeah, I don't think she... Well, first of all, her boobs are too big to be Deborah. Deborah is a stringy. Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't buy her as Deb at all.
I don't either. And I also don't buy Christian Slater as Harry Morgan, simply based on the fact that James Remar did such a good job. And, you know... He would probably, I don't know, they could have de-aged him or whatever. Maybe he didn't want to do it or couldn't do it. Although Christian Slater is great. You didn't really
see. Not for this role.
No, not for this role. You didn't see much of Sarah Michelle Gellar. She's going to be Dexter's boss. As he's
you didn't see much of her when she was on the screen either.
What do you mean?
What happened to her? She's like, she's the string bean now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But she's always been that way.
She hasn't been that like that.
No. Christina Milian is Maria La Guerta, and I thought she did a fantastic job. James Martinez is playing Angel Batista. Angel, no dokes. Oh, you know who steals the show as far as playing someone else? Is Alex Shimizu, who's doing Vince Masuka.
Yeah, Masuka's great.
Yeah, he's great.
He's using his boot just to pick up chicks.
Yeah. Yeah, get out of here, Dexter's real interested. Get out of here. Freshen my vibe. And Patrick Dempsey's in it, and he's playing Aaron Spencer. I guess he's the lieutenant.
Yeah.
And but he's not the guy that's their boss in the regular seasons or the regular series. So I have to give it like 7 out of 10. I really was, if you had asked me a year ago, are you going to watch this? I would say, no, I'm done. Dexter's stupid. Season 8 was garbage. And now we're getting revisionist points of view from Steph, who is like just finished rewatching the entire series. I'm on season 5, And I'm enjoying it more than I thought I would because I forgot everything. Usually I go up to 4 and I don't watch anything after that. But 5 is actually pretty good.
The Lumen.
With who? Oh, yeah, with Lumen. She's really, I mean, it's really good. And then Maria Doyle as that nutty nanny for Dexter's kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I have a feeling, and my theory is that all of this is, he says it right at the beginning, your life passes before your eyes. So the life, right now he's in that car being taken to a hospital and he's dying or he's alive. And then in 2025, we're going to get Dexter Resurrection. Is that the name of it?
Yeah. Because they made it out like Harrison killed him at the end of New Blood, but he didn't. He lived.
Right. So he's alive, and we're going to get even more Dexter. And I wonder how that's going to be, a little cat and mouse with him and Angel Batista. So including Dustin's son in his stead, are we all going to continue watching Dexter, and are we going to talk about it?
Yeah. Why don't you get your son on here sometime, Dex, and have some Dexter chat with us?
Yeah.
I'll see if he'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to hear it from a youngster's perspective.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
All right. Well, I wanted to add that you guys know who Tony Schiavone is?
He's that WWE guy.
He was WWE, WCW, and now he's with AEW. I've been talking to him for about 7 years now. Emails, texts, or whatever. He listens to the Von Hessler Doctrine. He came by this week, and this is the first time I ever met him. And he's such a cool guy, so I was kind of excited about that.
He put you in a figure four lock?
Yeah, did he? What kind of movie?
No, he's not a wrestler. He's an announcer guy.
Oh.
He's the only guy that can say his name like he says his name.
Yeah.
Tony Schiavone!
Yeah, it's all one yell, like one thing. Yeah.
Tony Schiavone!
It's time for news, trailers, and trends with Steph.
So the Mystery Drones saga. You guys have been saying all this about everybody's, oh, there's drones mm-hmm. everywhere.
Right.
Well, they were trying to pass a bill in Congress, and Rand Paul shot it down. It was basically the Senate was trying to push to bolster the nation's counter-drone response. And Rand Paul said this was an invasion of people's privacy. And they're also saying that the government's full of crap because they know what this stuff is. And they're just trying to use it to steal your juice.
What? Steal your what? What, they're going to land in your backyard. Give me a juice.
Steal your businesses. Oh. Whatever. Yes, that they're just trying to invade your privacy.
Mm-hmm.
By doing this bill. So
that's what that anal probe was that you got right. in the middle of the night, Tim. It was just they're looking for your privacy.
Well, that wasn't you?
No.
Oh, I thought it was you. I don't understand these drone things, and I don't believe anything anyone says. Until somebody comes out and says this is what they are, I don't believe it. There's the nuke sniffers, they're aliens, they're Iran, they're China, they're Russia. Do you know how expensive it would be for a country like Iran to get a boat over here and launch these all over the place? So I immediately discredit that. I think people are just
Send them in that the balloon from China.
Yeah. Which, by the way, they lied about. They saw it the minute it took off.
They're like, how can they not know what they are?
They do know what they are. They're not telling it.
Right. Exactly. So there's. I do agree with Rand Paul on that. Why do you need to pass a bill?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, they do know what they are. They would have responded if they thought they were a threat. And Biden, poor Biden, his response was just gibberish when they talked to him about it. I don't even know what the hell he said.
I'm not joking around here.
Come on, man. I got these drones flying around. The other day, he was just mabbling. He was like, where are everybody?
Well... Well, this is messed up. Did you guys watch Jamie Foxx's What Had Happened Was special?
No, but I heard about it.
I heard it was funny.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. Everybody tells me it's great, that you'll laugh, you'll cry, it's all that. I believe it. I just haven't got to watch it yet. Well, he was out having a birthday dinner at Mr. Chow's, that fancy restaurant in L.A. And earlier in the night, the Jackass production crew, they were upstairs in the VIP room. They sent a drink down to him. Well, then the waiter tells Jamie, he's sitting there with a table of 50 people there for his birthday, look up there and wave to them. And he's like, okay. So he waves to him or whatever. And they're all laughing and carrying on. Well, it turns out they were shining a penis laser pointer at his table. And Jamie Foxx got mad because he was like, in front of my kids are here. And so he got up and his whole crew got up and they went upstairs. And the next thing you know, Jamie got smashed in the face with a glass by one of the Jackass crew and had to go get stitches. And I think his crew kind of got roughed them up a little bit. And then Mr. Chow called the cops and they threw the Jackass people out. So the Jackass people are disputing this. They're saying that's not how it went down at all. But I kind of think Jamie's telling the truth here.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, you know, don't shine penis projecting laser pointers at people. It's not nice.
Well, somebody who, you know, has just come off of almost dying. He was having like a celebration of life dinner for the fact that he never thought he'd have another birthday after what he went through. And, you know, he's got his whole family there and stuff, and you're shining. I mean, it was really stupid. And the fact that it wasn't even any of the Jackass stars, it was just the production crew.
I think it's more odd that they would send him a drink.
Yeah.
Which he did not drink.
Everything that's happened recently,
Yeah, no shit. And he didn't drink it because he doesn't drink alcohol anymore. So he was just like, thank you, and blah, blah, blah. And then it was like, then they're up there waving at him. They're like, yeah, they want you to wave to him. And he's like, okay. So he waved to him. And then they still did that dumb shit.
Hmm.
Anyway, I just thought it was pretty, well, I guess it's just exactly what you'd expect.
Yeah.
From that crew. I don't know if anybody was expecting Kraven the Hunter to be a good movie. Well, it was not.
I wasn't.
Yeah, they're saying it is a huge piece of trash.
Is it a Sony movie?
Mm-hmm.
So that means there's no Spider-Man in it.
Nope.
Right. Yeah. Well, the good part is it was so bad that it put a nail in the coffin of Sony's Spider-Man Sideverse. So,
oh, it did?
Yeah.
So no more Venom?
They're no longer making any of those, and Marvel still has the rights to pull in Venom. So
good.
Yeah. That's what we wanted in the first place was Venom and Marvel and just leave the rest of that crap alone.
Yeah, the idea that they would make these movies without Spider-Man is ridiculous. The only reason Venom exists is because of the original Secret Wars. They offered it to Peter Parker. Hey, this is a lot easier for you. It's a symbiotic suit. It'll work for you better than having to change, and it'll give you better powers and stuff. So he brought it back, and then it turned into Venom and then Carnage and all that stuff. But you were going to say something, Dustin. Sorry.
Well, they were the reason they were trying to make all these independent villain movies and give them backstory and personality and character building before they put them in. It's just none of it was any good without Spider-Man. Right. It just don't fly like some of the Marvel stuff does by itself.
Speaking of Jamie Foxx, I liked him as Electro. A lot of people didn't. I thought that was a cool role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought he was good at that. We all watched the White Lotus season 3 trailer.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd take a cold shower afterwards.
No doubt.
That hot
raccoon.
Yeah, so now, you know, we've been to, they've been Hawaii, then Italy, and now we're in Thailand.
Right.
And we've got some, you know, we got Carrie Coon, Leslie Bibb, the Goggins, which we were all dying for, Jason Isaacs, Michelle Monaghan, Natasha Rothwell, she's coming back, Parker Posey, I love, Patrick Schwarzenegger. This should be pretty good. Have no idea how it's going to play out. Obviously, there's going to be somebody who gets killed at the beginning, and we won't know who. And we won't know why.
I hope that Parker Posey doesn't forget the busy bee.
It's not in the crate. I just told you that.
God, Hamilton, if she doesn't get her door, she's going to flip out.
You left it at the hotel. You go back and you get her busy bee. Go to the hotel and get busy bee. Run. Run. Go.
That would be, I would die if they would actually just write her as that character.
Oh, I know. That would be great.
But February 2025, so not too far away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you see the photos of what people thought was Cillian Murphy as the zombie from 28 Years Later this week?
Yeah, I couldn't tell the difference between him or the zombie.
Yeah, the picture really, it sparked a lot of speculation that that was going to be him. And it turns out, no, it was some British art dealer.
Hmm.
He just looks like him.
Yeah, so this takes place 20. Sorry, Dustin.
I was just going to say, it still doesn't, just because it's in the trailer that way and he plays a zombie, it doesn't mean that that zombie's not intended to be
here. Right.
Yeah. Right.
True.
So this is 28 years after the last movie?
Yep.
Another 28 years after Infection, so yeah.
Oh, after Infection, okay.
It's 28 years later.
Yeah, of course I'm into that. I'm going to watch this movie.
Absolutely. I thought it was going to be Sandra Bullock 28 years later in a rehab.
I think they called it the bus that couldn't slow down. Oh. When does that come out?
Yeah, next year. I think. Did you put this in here, Jeff, about that Lions fan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been following it. So whenever they played the Packers, one of the Lions fans got very overzealous with the Packers coach, Matt LaFleur, and they banned him. And all of his season tickets were revoked. And Damn. Yeah, lots of people were like, that's bullshit. He's just spirited and passionate. And Matt LaFleur is a baby for carrying on the way that he did. And actually, there was a local hockey team I saw. They gave them season tickets. asked them to be guests. Yeah. Because they like that kind of fandom or whatever. But I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I don't think you should ban people.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe suspend him for 3 games or something, but don't take away a season ticket.
Yeah, I don't like
it. Paid a lot of money for those.
I agree. And he was clearly a dedicated fan. He mm-hmm. was on the field, or he wouldn't.
Right.
So. Okay. Oh, Jeff, I'm sorry. So the old man got canceled, eh?
Yeah. Sucks.
Only 2 seasons.
People dug that show.
Yeah, I really like
it. Did they wrap it up, though? Did they wrap it up?
Not really well. Not like a season finale kind of thing. Or, I mean, a series finale kind of thing.
What's he going to do now? They should make a series about the dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool.
That'd be cool.
I know it would, but it'll never happen.
Old dude.
There you go. Old dude.
I would love that. I'd be so into that.
Walter's still alive, so they could, they could keep it going.
That would be killer. Great idea. Oh, and then I guess Silo got renewed for 2 more seasons, and then they're going to...
How many books are there, Dustin?
There's 3 books.
So they're going to do 3 books over 4 seasons, and then that'll end?
Yeah, what they'll probably do is finish this season, and then at the end of the season, they'll introduce a character, and most of 3rd season will be about that character, and then the 4th season will bring everything together.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
When are they going to make a series out of Dungeon Crawler Carl? We'll talk about that.
It's already in production.
All right, cool. Yeah, my wife digs Silo, so she said she's asked me a couple times now. Did everybody on Radio Labyrinth watches it? Why aren't you watching it? And I said, I don't know. You're way ahead of me.
I don't watch it.
Okay. Yeah, Steph doesn't watch it. So there.
Only the cool people on Radio Labyrinth watch it.
I don't deny that. I'm definitely not cool. Not as cool as you guys.
You're cooler than I am.
Well, that's not saying much. Yeah. there's going to be a Malcolm in the Middle revival at Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's bringing everybody back. Frankie Muniz, Bryan Cranston, Jane Kaczmarek.
Is the little brother coming back?
Yeah, I haven't heard about any of the brothers yet.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What else are they doing?
Well, I know the little one, he didn't do much acting after that. Right. He went off into college and stuff. Yeah.
And then the other one, his brother is...
he's just laying low.
Yeah. He and his sister are trying to avoid any sort of situations.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that sucks, though, for Francis. Francis shouldn't have to bear wear the cross of his brother's essays. He should be able to come back if he wanted to. So they're doing it. I don't know if I want this.
Bryan Cranston?
I'll watch it. They ought to do some fun casting stuff, though, like have Aaron Paul.
Yeah.
He'll show up somehow.
I hope so.
I don't want it on Disney Plus. I would take this on Max. It's uncut.
Practically, I mean, since it's Hulu, I mean, it's practically that anyway.
Yeah.
But I would like, I want it to be adult. I don't want it to be for kids. And then I'll really watch it.
No kids are going to know who any of those people are. So it'll be for us. I mean, they're going to make it for the audience that originally watched it.
Maybe. Well, we'll see when it comes out. But that's all my news. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Hello, America. I'm Casey Kasem. This week, we go back to March 6th of 1994. The number one song in the country was The Sign by Ace of Base. The number one movie, Naked Gun 33 and a Third. I wonder why OJ didn't make any more films. And the number one show in the country was Seinfeld. And happy hellbound birthday and Merry Christmas to Larry William Eiler, born this day in 1952. Larry was a serial killer who is believed to have unalived a minimum of 21 teenage boys and young men between 1982 and 1984. Convicted and sentenced to unaliving by lethal injection for killing one boy, he traded honesty for his life by confessing to several other unalivings. Poor Larry passed from AIDS while incarcerated and didn't live long enough to see Polar Express. I'm sure they show that in hell, where it belongs. Happy birthday, Lair. See you soon. And now, on with the countdown.
All right, in the podcast universe, I didn't really listen to an awful lot, but I did. What did I listen to? I listened to Tim Dillon, which is sort of a Saturday night tradition for me. Joe Rogan Experience with Julian Lennon. I listened to that. I like the fact that they didn't really talk an awful lot about John Lennon, because if you're going to have the Lennon kids on, that's going to be the talk, you know. But they did a little bit. But really, a lot of talk about vacation places for rich people and the food that they eat. And I don't consider either of them to be snobs, and I don't get that vibe from Julian, but it kind of got boring. And also watched the latest episode of Neural Viz, which I've recommended before, and I finished book one of Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Nice. I listened to Jesse Eisenberg on Conan, mm-hmm. and last podcast on the left just had their 600th episode.
I am.
They're going into the Black Dahlia murders.
Mm.
That's really good.
Let's see. I listened to Tell Him Steve Dave, The Ralph Report, as always. And then I started a new podcast. It's brand new. It's called Hey, That's Me, a commentary podcast. It's by Brian Lynch and Patrick Cotnor. Mm-hmm. And what it is about, it's about filmmakers who never got to record a commentary track for their movies.
Oh, that's
they,
cool.
They bring them on and do a commentary track with them. To their films, and the first one was a film called Tickled that came out. But yeah, it's an interesting concept for a podcast. And Brian Lynch, he's tangentially connected to Kevin Smith and kind of got his career started with Kevin financing one of his films when Clerks got picked up. And this is the guy that invented and came up with the Minions and all of
oh, wow.
And all of that stuff. So a really funny guy who writes a lot of good material. And first time he's ever really had a podcast when all of his friends have had one. So it's kind of fun to listen to him finally.
Yeah.
Nice.
I listened to Radioactive, the Karen Silkwood mystery podcast.
You were telling me about that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's these two investigative journalists. They're in their 70s now. They're actually retired. And when the story broke, they were very young, like 20. They didn't have the experience to really dig their heels into the story. And now they have went back. They found everybody that they can that's alive, that will talk. There's a lot of people that still refuse to talk about this, that worked at the plant. And, wow. and all that other stuff. So it's pretty interesting. And you got Karen Silkwood's son, who is heavily involved in this. And he is seems like such a great guy. He's you know, had a tough life or whatever. But they're all determined to find out for sure, was she killed on that road that night? Or did she just have an accident?
Yeah. Does Cher narrate the podcast?
Yeah.
She doesn't. She doesn't.
Anything else, Steph?
No, just my Dateline. Sword and Scale. Anybody the usual. Did. The usual kills. 48 hours. 48 hours. Yeah.
I'm very disappointed we don't have any YouTube comments this week.
There was one.
God damn it, donut.
I think there was one.
Yeah, there was one that said cool.
That was my favorite. That's my favorite comment of all time.
Cool.
So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll do views or snooze. Hey, if you're in Conyers and you're hungry, or if you're in any part of the area near Conyers, Georgia, which is right outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and you're hungry and you want some really good pizza or gyros, why not check out Atlanta Pizza and Gyro? They've proudly been serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. They're a great place to be this winter, and Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is ready for the holiday season. Now, no need to break traffic laws and smuggle it in from Texas, you bandits. Stop by AP&G and get $3.50 Coors Banquet stubby bottles and more. They've got the best gyros, pizzas and hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Stop by Monday through Friday, 11 to 9 p.m., and on Saturday from noon to 9 p.m. They are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30. Bring your smartest friends and test your trivia knowledge against the best Conyers has to offer. And if it's just like Dustin, for example, you have a good chance of winning.
Or wash my hair with their house dressing.
Or you put one of those caps on so it really soaks into your scalp.
Exactly. And then whatever drips out in the night makes like a lovely little 2 a.m. snack.
By the way, their food truck is on blocks until the end.
No,
for the winter. I'm sorry.
For the winter season.
Yeah. All right. Hey, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Views.
Or.
And snooze.
Views.
And we're back. Yeah, last week was Bookie, No Good Deed, and Dexter, which are all good.
I watched two
all of them. Yeah.
What is No Good Deed again?
That's that new Ray Romano show on Netflix. It's Steph Pick, I think.
Yeah, I really liked it. I really like it a lot.
This week, Beast Game starts on Amazon Prime, the new Mr. Beast show, reality show,
where
you can win $5 million. I'm going to review that. This show called Laid.
Laid?
Yeah, it's from...
About James?
No, it's Stephanie Sue from Everything Everywhere All at Once. Mm-hmm. She plays a woman who every one of her former boyfriends has died. So she's trying to figure out if it's something that she did. It looks really funny. I liked her from Nora from Queens.
What did you say, Tim?
I said her vagina
has cancer. Yeah. Causes cancer. Yeah.
And then Kennedy Center Honors, which I'm going to watch because the Grateful Dead got honored this year.
Yeah. Jerry going to be there?
Yeah.
Putting him on stage.
I'm going to watch that. That's a views for me, but I don't think I'll be watching Beast Games.
Yeah, I think I'll check it out.
I'll check it out just see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do some staff picks. Steph, would you like to start?
Well, Jeff just said it. I mean, it was one of the views or snooze last week, and I'm picking it this week as my staff pick is No Good Deed, and it's the show with Lisa Kudrow and Ray Romano and Dennis Leary, and
what's
it's great.
What's shows with guys getting their pinkies cut off? Landman, then I'm watching this, and he gets his pinky cut off.
I don't know, Landman this week, though, was the shit. It was really good.
Right.
Yeah, I'm all caught up on Landman now.
I got to get caught up on it. There's like 7 episodes. Maybe I'll stop watching Dexter.
No, I won't.
All right, Dustin, what's your stat pick?
Mine is on Hulu. Steph had brought this movie up a few months ago when it came out. It's called Cuckoo. And it is crazy, about a girl who has to move to Europe or Germany to live with her dad. And when she gets there, it's kind of a Wicker Man type town situation. Real freaky movie. And I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed Long Legs, to tell you the truth.
Wow.
It looks a lot like Out of the Mouth of Madness.
Yes. Very similar. Very similar type of mental problems in it. Yeah.
Mine's Nate Bargatze's stand-up special comes out on the 24th. And he's got that Nashville Christmas thing that's airing, too, this week.
Mm. You know, you stole my staff pick, which was going to be your friend, Nate Bargatze. I went there and typed it. I'm like, God damn it. So I picked Rubber Soul, but it's Motown. It's an AI recreation of the Beatles classic Rubber Soul in a Motown thing. I've been seeing these a lot on YouTube. I imagine they'll all get shut down soon. But if you want to hear what it would be like to listen to the Beatles if they were a Motown band recording Rubber Soul, look for Cale Tesgar's channel. I'm not going to spell it. Dustin will put the link right there. All right, let me do a real quick plug here. I have an episode of The Popcast available right now as a podcast. It's from last week. That's my show I do on WSB Radio Saturday nights at either 7 p.m. or 10 p.m. I don't know. My guests are Lonnie Jordan from War talking about their new Christmas song called Yes, It's Christmas. And yes, I'm talking about that band War. Also, a showrunner and a television producer, director Joshua Zettimer, who has a show on Hulu right now called Say Anything. All the episodes are available. It's all about the trouble in Northern Ireland in the 70s. And I had no idea about this show. And I watched the trailer and it looks like something I'm going to check out. But he was a cool guy to interview. And of course, my episode this week features Corey Feldman, just like this show, but it'll be a different interview. I'll be very serious with him. Let's see. Hey, do you like this show? You can support us by becoming a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. Just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and sign up at any level, and you can receive our Patreon-only show, except there won't be one this week because it's Christmas. We're not going to put one out on Christmas, because people aren't going to watch it, right? But there will be one the week after, which is New Year's Day, but not as exciting as Christmas Day. And for all of you people that don't celebrate Christmas, just rewatch this episode and pretend. I'm just kidding. And you can also become a producer of the show. An executive producer is $25 a month. And when you sign up as an executive producer, you immediately get a T-shirt from our T-shirt store. And we hope that it arrives to you. You also can pick out any drawing of mine that I've already done, or I'll do a doodle for you and sign it and send it to you. That's kind of cool. And any stickers we have, you'll get those as well. But more importantly, you're supporting the show. You are an actual producer. Movies have producers. Albums have, you know, the money people. You're the money people. It's because of you that we keep doing this. And that's $25 a month. And I want to thank our executive producers right now. John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. So thank you guys very much. And if you are watching this video on YouTube, please like and subscribe. You know, everybody says that, but we really mean it. Like and subscribe. You don't have to turn the alert on. It comes out at the same time every week. It's always Saturday morning. But like and subscribe and leave comments. We love reading your comments. So please leave a bunch of comments. I imagine we're going to get some interesting ones this week that Dustin will probably have to delete. Don't forget, we're not going away. We aren't taking the whole week off. We are going to come back with our year-end wrap-up and talk about all sorts of things from 2024. And that'll take you into 2025. We're old. Who cares? unless I left something out, please remember to keep it canon.
Well, what do you say? All good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio labyrinth. And we gotta rock it like we're still young kids. Yeah. Laughing at the world, but jokes never fade. Never fade away. And now the radio labyrinth will never be swayed.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.